Well, Lo, you know we are dying one at a time, and there aren't enough of us, and we die just as dead as anybody. And a boy from back home ain't a better soldier than a boy from Minnesota or anywhere just because he's from back home. Armstead nodded carefully. Well, sure. He paused watchfully. Of course, I know that. But then, on the other hand, we sure do stomp them consistently now, don't we, Pete? I don't know, but I feel we're something special. I do. We're good, and we know it. It may just be the old man and a few other leaders like you. Well, I don't know what it is, but I tell you, I believe in it. And I don't think we're overconfident. Longstreet nodded. Let it go. But Armstead sat up. Another thing, Pete. Long as the subject is up, I've been thinking on your theories of defensive war, and look, Pete, if you don't mind the opinion of an aging military genius just as once, technically, by God, you're probably right. Hell, you're undoubtedly right. This may be a time for defensive war. But, Pete, this ain't the army for it. We aren't bred for the defense. And the old man, Lord, if ever there was a man not suited for slow, dull defense, it's old R.E., Longstreet said. But he's a soldier. Exactly, and so are you. But the old man is just plain, well, too proud. Listen, do you remember when he was assigned to the defense of Richmond and he started digging trenches? You remember what they started calling him? The King of Spades. God, the Richmond newspapers. Right. And you could see how hurt he was. Most people would be, staying on the old honor. Now, Pete, you're wise enough not to give a damn about things like that, but old Robert now, he's from the old school, and I'll bet you right now he can't wait to get them out in the open somewhere so he can hit them face to face. And you know every soldier in the army feels the same way, and it's one of the reasons why the morale is so good and the Union morale is so bad, and isn't that a fact? Longstreet said nothing. It was all probably true. And yet there was danger in it. There was even something dangerous in Lee. Longstreet said, he promised me he would stay on the defensive. He said he would look for a good defensive position and let them try to hit us.
He did?
He did.
Well, maybe. But I tell you, Pete, it ain't natural to him.
And it is to me.
Armstead cocked his head to one side. Then he smiled, shook his head, and reached out abruptly to slap Longstreet's knee.
Well, might as well be blunt, old soul, and to hell with the social graces. Truth is, Peter, that you are by nature the stubbornest human being, nor mule either, nor even army mule, that I personally have ever known or ever hope to know, and my hat is off to you for it, because you are also the best damn defensive soldier I ever saw by miles and miles and miles, and that's a fact. Now, he started to rise. I'll get a moving. Back to my virtuous bed.
Longstreet grunted, found himself blushing. He rose, went silently with Armstead toward the crowd around Pickett. Moxley Sorrell was on his feet, pounding his palm with a clenched fist. The Englishman Fremantle was listening open-mouthed. The Prussian Scheibert was smiling in a nasty sort of way. Longstreet caught the conclusion of Sorrell's sentence. Know that government derives its power from the consent of the governed. Every government, everywhere, and sir, let me make this plain. We do not consent. We will never consent. They stood up as Longstreet approached. Sorrell's face was flushed. Jim Kemper was not finished with argument, Longstreet or no. To Fremantle he went on. You must tell them, and make it plain, that what we are fighting for is our freedom from the rule of what is to us a foreign government. That's all we want. And that's what this war is all about. We established this country in the first place with strong state governments just for that reason, to avoid a central tyranny.
Oh, Lord, Armstead said,
The cause. Fremantle rose, trying to face Longstreet and continue to listen politely to Kemper at the same moment.